Amen. So we are finishing up our study in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. And after this message, we'll move into some Christmas messages over the next few weeks. But we're going to finish this up and just kind of get our place again. God and God alone knows the future. Amen. Satan doesn't know it. I don't know it. You don't know it. We know things about the future, but only God and God alone knows the future. And he has given us an absolute sure word of prophecy. Amen. 100% sure word of prophecy. And we just cannot afford to be ignorant about our tomorrow. Let's continue our study into Satan's man as we started last week. Satan's man, the beast in chapter 13. Look at verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his ten horns crowns, and his heads a blasphemous name. So right here in verse 1, we see that this beast is rising up out of the sea. And we need to understand, in the Bible, the sea represents wicked and sinful mankind. In Revelation chapter 17, the Bible tells us that the sea represents peoples and nations. And in Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21, it says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose water cast up mire and dirt. And for them there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." So the Bible is clear that the sea certainly represents the unsaved and sinful man. And what we started looking at was the beast rise from this sea of agitation, this agitated sea. And we see that this beast rises up out of the sea. And this speaking of the world climate in which the beast, this is Antichrist, Satan's man, this is when he will rise to power in this time of turmoil. And if we look around our world today, there is no doubt where it's in turmoil. Amen? We see, you know, just look in France this week. They've got riots and uprisings, and you see it almost every day, and you see natural disasters on the rise and intensify throughout the world. And, you know, you see wars and rumors of wars and all this violence, all this conflict, and the world is just in turmoil. And the Bible tells us that out of this darkness, out of this great turmoil, the beast, Antichrist, will rise. Next thing that we see is the beast will have satanic ambitions. Right in verse 1, the beast rises up out of the sea, and the Bible says he has seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Well, that description, seven heads, ten horns, and ten crowns, this is the same exact description that we saw a chapter earlier in chapter 12, verse 3, that described the dragon. And we know the dragon is who? Satan. So we see that Satan's beast, Antichrist, will have the same attributes as Satan himself. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 9, the Bible says, "The coming of the lawless one," another name for Antichrist, "is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders." The Bible tells us, is very clear, that Antichrist is going to come in the power of Satan, and he's going to have signs and lying wonders. What is signs and lying wonders? It's talking about miracles. Not good miracles, not productive miracles, not the type of miracles that Jesus performed, healing the sick and the lame. He's going to have lying wonders, the Bible says. These are miracles just simply meant to deceive people, plain and simple. And that's his motives. He's going to come with satanic attributes. Now let's go back into our text and let's look at verse 2 for a moment. Verse 2, it says, "Now the beast which I saw was like a shepherd. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion." Well, you can interpret that both ways. L-Y-O-N or L-Y-I-N-G, lying, right? So, says here he's like a leopard, like a bear, and like a lion. What does all that mean? Well, in order to understand that, we have to look in the book of Daniel chapter 7. And I'm going to read a little bit in Daniel chapter 7 for a moment. Daniel received this incredible vision from God. God gave Daniel this vision of all the major kingdoms that would rise to power throughout world history. The four major empires in our history of our world, Daniel was given this vision. In chapter 7, verse 2, it says, Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. That's the Mediterranean. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings, and I watched till its wings were plucked off. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise and devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So God gave Daniel this vision. Those four beasts that we see represent the four great empires of world history. Now, if anybody enjoyed history, you might remember a lot of these empires. And each empire symbolically described by a beast or an animal. The first one that we were introduced to, the first vision that Daniel saw, was that of a lion. That represented the Babylonian Empire. That lion, regal but extremely fierce, were the Babylonians. Then he saw a bear, and it was lopsided. That represented the Medo-Persian Empire, where the Medes outweighed the Persians. And they were very strong and ferocious. And then the third animal, the third vision that Daniel received, was that of a leopard. And that represents the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. They were fast, and they were absolutely furious. Now, God is telling us that Antichrist will be the ruler of that fourth. Remember, Daniel at the end saw a fourth empire, a fourth beast, much different from the first three, had 10 horns. So God is telling us that Antichrist will be that ruler of the fourth empire. Now, we know also in world history, there was another fourth empire. It was in rule when Jesus was in his earthly ministry. And who was that? That was the Romans. So Antichrist represents the revived Roman Empire. But as God says here, it's much different from the other three. This will be much more fierce, way more different, and way more intense. Antichrist will be the Alexanders, the Napoleons, the Mussolinis, the Hitlers, all combined into one dictator, the beast. Amen. Now we see the second part of verse 2 in our scripture in chapter 13. So we see the descriptions of the Antichrist. Then it says the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. The dragon, again, is Satan himself. So Antichrist comes in the power of Satan, and Satan is the one who gives him a throne. It gives him his power, gives him his authority, and we need to remember that that authority is legally his to give. Remember that when God created Adam, he gave Adam dominion over this world in the Garden of Eden. But Adam fell into sin. Satan deceived Adam, and when Adam sinned, Adam lost that dominion, and Satan lawfully took it from him. That's why when you read in the Gospels, when Satan tempted Jesus for 40 days and 40 nights, he took him up on that high pinnacle, that mountaintop. And Satan showed Christ all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all those kingdoms can be yours if you just bow down to me. And the one thing that should stick out in that passage is the fact that Jesus never disputed Satan's authority to do that, did he? He never said, well, Satan, they're not yours to give. Because he knew that Satan legally took them from Adam when he deceived Adam. What Satan was doing, Satan was offering Jesus the crown without the cross. Praise God. Jesus says, no, I love him too much. Amen. So we see here, the Bible tells us that this beast, Antichrist, he's so wicked, so deceptive, that Satan is going to enter him and give him his power, his authority, and his throne to deceive the world. Next thing that we see is the beast will have seductive appeal. Look at verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? This world is going to be absolutely enamored and just fall in love with Antichrist. And again, I reminded you last week that beast does not refer to his appearance. Amen? When God describes Antichrist as a beast, he's not talking about he's hideous looking. He's going to be the opposite. He's talking about his character, what his motives are, what's in his heart. He's an absolute ravenous beast and character. Satan has always tried to imitate God. Amen? Tried to be God. He always wanted to be worshipped as God. He wanted to establish his throne above God. That is what Satan has always been. He's always been the great imitator, trying to be God. And with this counterfeit Christ, he will have the world in awe of him. Amen? The next thing we saw was the beast will have savage ambitions. Savage ambitions. And we looked at some of the objectives that Antichrist will come to do. Number one, he wants people to worship Satan, as we read here in verse 4. It says they worship the dragon who gave the authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Then he also is coming to defy Jesus Christ. Just out and out, just defy him. Verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years, right? That's talking about the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. But he's also going to come to destroy Christians. Verse 7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Listen. We just read Satan gives him his power. What is Satan's desire? The worship. Anyone who doesn't worship him is his enemy. Every Christian, every saint, every person that chooses God over him will have a bullseye on their back. He is coming to destroy every Christian, every saint. Then he also comes to dominate the world. Second part of verse 7. And authority was given him over every tribe, over every tongue, and over every nation. How many nations? Says every, pretty plain and simple, right? Pretty black and white there. Every nation. He is coming to dominate the entire world. He is coming to deceive the entire world. Plain and simple. Then he's also coming to lead the captives. Who are the captives? Think of a captive. They're what? Bound. These are unsaved. He's talking about those that are unsaved. Look at verse 8. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, which was slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. You think about that verse. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. What is he talking about? They've got a bullseye on their back. Bottom line, they're going to have to choose life or Christ. That's the ultimatum that Antichrist through Satan is going to issue. The Bible tells us that those who choose not to take the mark of the beast, who want their names written in the Lamb's book of life, the Bible says they will be beheaded for their faith. That's what God is talking about here when he says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Amen. Now we're going to move into the beast having a satanic ambassador. Look at verse 11. Then I saw another beast, as if one beast wasn't bad enough. Now the Bible says there's another beast coming up out of the earth this time. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. The Bible tells us there's another beast. This is known as the false prophet. The false prophet is going to be the Antichrist ambassador, so to speak. The first beast, as we saw, Antichrist, comes up out of the sea. And the sea represents symbolic of peoples and nations, as we saw. Now, this beast comes up out of the earth. Now, when we talk about the sea, remember in the book of Daniel, it talked about the Great Sea. That's talking about the Mediterranean. So when the Bible is talking about this beast rose up out of the sea, it's talking about those nations specifically that surround the Mediterranean Sea. Now we see this other beast coming up out of the earth, literally translated as land. And that is usually symbolic of the nation of Israel. Now we can probably make a good statement that this false prophet will more than likely be Jewish. Think about that connection. Remember, we talked about last week that phrase that we've heard in the last decade or so. One world order. There's going to be a one world monetary system, a one world government, a one world military, but also a one world religion. We think back and you say, all right, half the time Baptists can't get along with other Baptists or Methodists can't get along with other Methodists. How are you going to have a world religion? You know, the Muslims and the Christians and the Jews, how are they all going to sit and worship and believe the same thing? Well, I can tell you what. The three major faiths: Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. They all believe the same thing all the way back to one person, Abraham. Amen? Abraham. And I believe Antichrist and the false prophet, listen, Satan knows Scripture. Satan was in heaven when God formed the world. He knows more Scripture than you and I put together, get probably. He just doesn't follow it. But he knows it. And he knows enough that he can unite people under that same banner all the way back to Abraham. And he's going to find a one-world religion. A one-world religion. And just think how powerful that would be if that false prophet was Jewish. Remember, Israel does not make peace treaties with anybody. Amen. The fact that Israel signs this 7-year peace treaty that spans the 7-year tribulation period is a miracle in itself. In order for Israel to let someone inside, they're going to have an inside man. That's why I believe that this false prophet is probably going to be Jewish. Then we see verse 11. We see that other beast coming up out of the earth. And listen to this description. It had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Anybody ever see a lamb? You ever see a lamb with horns? Lambs don't have horns, amen? So we know something is definitely different about this lamb. Jesus described it a different way. He talked about a lamb or a wolf in sheep's clothing. Amen. Same difference. This is a lamb with two horns. With speaking like who? Like a dragon. He has the voice of the dragon, speaking of, symbolic of speaking the things of Satan. This means that he's going to speak the same lies, the same deceit, the same blasphemy as Satan and Antichrist. Dragon, Satan, the anti-God. The beast, the first beast, Satan's Antichrist. And now we see this second beast, Satan's false prophet, the anti-Holy Spirit. Remember, Satan's that great imitator. We have the Holy Trinity, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now Satan wants to imitate God, him the dragon, he wants to be God. He has his Antichrist, the beast, and then he has a second beast, the imitation Holy Spirit, the unholy Trinity. Just as the Holy Spirit of God draws us to love and worship Jesus Christ, this false prophet, he's going to deceive and he's going to draw mankind in to worship the beast. The question is how? The first way, by deceiving signs and wonders. We saw that in verse 13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Sounds familiar too. I don't know about you, but I remember a prophet in the Old Testament on top of Mount Carmel bringing fire down from heaven, didn't he? Satan, just a great imitator. We see the same thing here. Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he is granted to do in the sight of the beast. Does Satan have power to perform miracles? The answer is absolutely yes, he does. And he has deceived and he has misled millions with them. Look, this isn't the first time Satan has used miracles to deceive people. You know, we hear people talk about near-death experiences all the time, don't we? Saved or unsaved, nobody ever said, well, I woke up seeing the flames of hell, do they? Every single person that has a near-death experience, they've never had Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, yet they see this bright light. What does the Bible say Satan appears to us as? An angel of what? Light. Let me tell you something. Satan has been using miracles and signs and wonders throughout history. All the false prophets of Baal, where did they get their power from? From Satan. Amen? It's just going to be on a much larger scale. Why? Because God removed his Holy Spirit from the earth. God removed us, the church, from the earth at the rapture. Remember? God, we were raptured up, and that's what ushers in the 7-year tribulation. So God's restraining power is removed from the earth, and Satan's allowed to just run free. You can't get caught up and be led astray by signs and wonders. Don't focus our eyes on them. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what he kept telling the multitudes. You know, a lot of Jesus' miracles, if you remember, they were done mostly one-on-one. Jesus didn't have this big healing service. He didn't have these big mass miracle services did he? He healed one-on-one. And a lot of times he told people, don't tell them who I am. Amen? We can't focus on the miracle, on the signs, the wonders. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. How else is he going to do it? By demanding worship of the beast. He deceives everyone by those signs, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. That's his MO. Either worship me or die. We're not told exactly, you know, what that image will be. But we do know that he will demand and he will require people by their life to bow down and to worship him. Amen. How else? What else is he going to do? He's going to dominate the world's wealth. Verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Antichrist's kingdom is going to have immense wealth. Remember, he's one world order, one world government, one world economy. And guess who's in charge? Antichrist. Amen? He's going to have great wealth. And the false prophet is going to be the one that controls that wealth by it controlling the world's entire commerce. He's going to be the world's commerce chief. And if you want to buy or sell anything, look, hopefully none of us worship money. But we need money to buy stuff, right? We can't go to the grocery store and just grab things off the shelf, fill up our cart, and walk out, can we? In order for us to eat, we have to buy food. In order for us to have electricity, we have to pay the electric company. Bottom line, the Bible says here, if you want to live in any fashion, the only way you can get money is to take what? The mark of the beast. That's it. That's your only option. You're going to be forced to take the mark of the beast. When we look in our society today, we're already heading towards this cashless economy. How many people actually carry cash? Not many, right? We're very little. You know, I know I try to keep some on because I travel a lot for my other job. That's the only reason. Most of us, we have a debit card. Pretty much covers everything. We're already moving towards that cashless society or economy. Now, when we consider the mark, you know, we've heard this for years, right? 666, mark of the beast. What's it mean? What does 666 mean? What is symbolic about that? And God says here in verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. He gives us a very good clue there, man. His number is 666. What day was man created? What day? The sixth day. That's because he's a six, not a seven like God. Amen. Because seven is perfection. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of perfection. Now, we first started this study, we saw that numbers are very symbolic in Scripture. Amen. They have very symbolic meaning. Very important for us to understand those meaning. So six is the number of man. Seven is the number of God. Three is the number of divinity. It represents the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a divine number. So when we see this number, 666, how many sixes? Three. Six is the number of man. What this is symbolic of, the mark of the beast, is man trying to be who? God. The number of man, three times, man trying to be God, 666. We see this more so than any other time when Antichrist, the Bible tells us that at the midpoint, the 3.5 year point of the tribulation, Antichrist will enter the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, and he will declare that he is God and demand worship. Friend, you don't get a better, bigger declaration of 666 than that right there. When Antichrist enters the temple and says that he is God and he demands worship. Now we see that he demands that everyone take this mark. The mark of man, 666. It's realistically selling your soul to Satan. Because in order to take that mark, what you are doing, you are bowing down. And you are saying that I worship you, that you are my God. Satan's system is already in the world today. We see it every time that we go out and witness for Christ. The world just absolutely hates and despises Christians when we talk about the truth. The fact that there is only one way to heaven. Boy, this world gets upset when we say that, don't they? They don't like to hear that. But it's truth. When Christians start talking about the fact that there is only one way to heaven, and that is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the world doesn't like to hear it, because Satan doesn't want to acknowledge it. Amen? Soon as we say that there's only one way, we become intolerant, we're not accepting, we're narrow-minded. But listen, when it comes to my eternal destiny, I want to be narrow-minded. Amen. When I was in the hospital and that surgeon was over top of me, I wanted him to be narrow-minded and just fix what problem I had. Amen. I didn't want him going over here or going over there. When I put money into the bank, I want that teller to be narrow-minded and only put it into my bank account. Amen? Important things we need to be narrow-minded about in our eternal destiny. You can't get more important than that. Amen? There's only one way. And we see a lot of the propaganda out there today. We see a lot of phrases pushing for equality. We need to be very careful when we hear that word. Because when the world starts talking about equality, it's not talking about equality and opportunity. It's talking about equality based on socialism. Socialism is the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Amen? If you don't believe it, go visit a socialist country. Go see what type of living conditions they have. It doesn't work. Why? Because you still have people in control of socialism. They're the ones that decide where your money goes and what you're going to do with your life and what job you're going to have. That's socialism. That's not God's economy. And we hear and we see Europe moving toward that one world government, a one world economy, and a one world religion. It's called the European Union. The EU. We hear this on the news all the time. And what do we see a lot of our lawmakers, a lot of our politicians today? What do they keep pointing to? Where do they keep pointing? To Europe. They want us to develop and they want us to accept European values and they want us to be friends with the European Union. Friend, all that is Antichrist. That is Satan's platform to usher in his one world government. Great Britain had a vote a couple years back. They decided to do what? It's called Brexit. They decided to break away from the European Union. And what happened? Europe went haywire. And they still haven't broken away. And if you watch very closely, don't be surprised if it never happens. This is Antichrist's platform. This world backdrop. All the things that we see happening today. it's moving towards that one world economy, that one world power. Time, as we know, is frantically running out. We need to be careful. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples and they were talking about the end times, and his disciples said, "Lord, how will we know? What is the sign of your coming?" What was the first thing Jesus warned them? He said, "Do not be what? Deceived." Why would he say that? Because he knew that as we get closer to the end times, that deception would be more rampant. And he said, even for the elect's sake, he shortened days because they may even fall snare to deception. It's not a coincidence. There's no coincidence in God's word. Amen. We need to understand. If Jesus warned them, the first thing out of his mouth was, "Don't be deceived." We need to highlight that. We need to make that in big uppercase letters and understand and put that in our heart. We need to be very careful not to be deceived. We need to stay in the truth of God's word, and we need to keep our eyes and our hearts focused on Jesus Christ. Amen.